Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report. Back by popular demand, we have a tremendous popular sheriff who's been in office since 2005. Our guest is Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard. He's the 53rd sheriff of Erie County, New York. He replaced Patrick Galvin, who's now a state senator. He lives in South Wales, New York. And Galvin left when he was later elected to the state senate. Sheriff Howard faced three candidates in 2013. He himself received the Erie County Republican Party nomination and the Erie County Conservative Party nomination. And meanwhile, two other candidates, Dick Dobson and Bert Dunn, both went to a Democratic primary. Dobson came out as a primary's winner, becoming the Democratic nominee, while Dunn stayed in the race by starting a political party to receive ballot access, the Erie County Law and Order Party. In 2017, Sheriff Howard was reelected, defeating Democratic challenger Bernie Tolbert. Sheriff Howard has a lovely wife, Susan, and he comes from a family of law enforcement officials, ranging from municipal judges to state troopers. He has two children and six grandchildren. Now, at the time of this taping today, U.S. Senator Kamala Harris from California has called for the total legalization of marijuana, not medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. She's on the national talk shows today. I think she's trying to appeal to this left-wing progressive group so she can become president, as Obama did. And let's talk about total legalization of marijuana. Your feeling, Sheriff Tim Howard.
You can't see me sitting here on radio shaking my head, but I'm shaking my head. All I can think of is government or some government officials are becoming like the permissive parent that let their child go to bed with bubble gum or without brushing their teeth. It's not so funny when they wake up with gum in their hair or a few years later all those cavities pop out. So what possibly is encouraging them to do that except a desire to be popular? So that's not what they got elected for. They got elected to supply guidance, to direct people in the right direction. Foolish idea. I know our governor's pushing it. I should say New York's governor. I'm pushing for the same thing. Again, it's way too soon to be making this this type of a recommendation, and it's not good for public safety.
Well, let's look at the addictions we have right now. We have smoking causing so many millions of early deaths. Alcohol, and you deal with all these drunk drivers on the roadways, gambling addictions. Do we need another diction before the taping. We were talking about the fall of the Roman Empire and decadence and losing all your fabric of your society. Do we need another addiction to add to smoking, alcohol, gambling?
I would certainly say no. And I think to the listeners, be alert enough to pay attention. We're not talking about medical marijuana. We're talking, and they kind of forget to use the word sometime, but we're talking recreational marijuana. So this is a suggestion from government that, that our society needs some other way of escaping reality. The reality that they're creating, what we need to do is open our eyes to the reality of the world that we're living in and how much more permissive it's become. And it's closer and closer, I think, to what you'd find in hell versus what you'd find in a responsible society.
Let's talk about illegal aliens receiving driver's licenses. When we had Mickey Kearns, a man who you ran with on the ballot as Erie County Clerk, he said that he will fight tooth and nail against giving illegals who should not be in this country to receive driver's licenses. I mean, do you have a problem with the illegals driving illegally? Insurance, accidents, fatalities. How do you feel about them getting these driver's licenses?
I can't even think about this suggestion without laughing, but laughing in disbelief. So our governments, our state governments in this case, want to license people theoretically to legally drive in our state or in our country that haven't even entered our country legally. Would they somehow then think that these individuals would be committed to obeying our traffic laws when they haven't obeyed our immigration laws? I'm for immigration. I recognize America as its greatness with resulting from the melting pot of everybody bringing all these different ideas and compiling them and learning the best from one group and adapting it for another. But to think that individuals that come into our country unlawfully should then be granted driver's license and think that they're going to drive legally is ridiculous.
Our guest is Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, a popular, being in office now for 14 years. Let's talk about this border wall. You were a delegate at the Republican National Convention, so you were a Trump supporter. Trump is pushing this border wall. They're saying that we have 300 deaths to opioids in this country per week, and that 90% of the hard drugs come through the Mexican border illegally. Your feelings, Sheriff, should we have a border wall, or should we do as Senator Gillibrand and others say, no ICE, open borders? Where do you feel on this, Sheriff Tim Howard?
You're asking a lot of questions today that make me laugh.
I'm
Ryan.
Keeping you on your toes.
I'm not laughing. Aha! I'm laughing and saying this is not possible. You actually put it together beautifully. You cannot separate the illegal aliens, the individuals coming into our country unlawfully, and how easy it is for them to do that, or maybe saying it a different way. How would we expect to control these small packages of illegal material when we can't control the large packages of human beings that are crossing the border? Can people really not consider that at least some of these individuals are human mules that are being hired by drug dealers to carry these packages with them into the country, deliver them, receive a sum of money, and then return and do it again? So the simple solution is a border wall. Border walls and fences have gates. We see them everywhere. Actually, we wouldn't travel far outside of Buffalo. I think Chautauqua Institute is a great example of a community, and I suspect that the majority of the residents in Chautauqua County, that is a fenced and gated community, would not be willing to tear down their fences, nor their gates, to welcome visitors that you know are coming there for a legitimate or lawful purpose. So build the wall. If we want more gates, build more gates. But we need to control who comes and goes from our country.
Well, isn't it hypocritical when we see Mrs. Pelosi in Pacific Palisades with a 20-foot wall around her house. Mrs. Clinton has fencing around all of her house. Former President Obama has a wall around his house. The Vatican has a wall around the Vatican, because I've been there 20 times and I have to go through metal screening to get in. When I come from Canada to the U.S., I have to go through immigration and there's a wall there. So isn't it hypocritical?
Certainly. Forgive me for forgetting this, but who wrote the mending fences? Is it Stevenson? I think but at any rate, Google it. Mending fences, and the expression or the saying from that story: the good fences make good neighbors. So it's definitely hypocritical. We recognize that everywhere. And back again to the concept: how do I know where my border is absent something to market? And again, just as fences are designed to keep cattle in or cattle out or other animals out, so are fences that delineate boundaries designed to keep in or keep out as desired. So to these individuals that would denounce a border wall or a border fence, take down your own fence then.
Yeah, it's just like when I hear Mrs. Clinton say that we need all these gun control laws, but she's protected by people with five people with guns 24/7. So she doesn't want people in society to have guns, but she wants people around her with guns.
Was it from the OK Corral? Their hypocrisy knows no bounds or has no bounds. excellent point. And at the same time, anytime you think of protection, you think of the existence of armed guards and firearms. And then we talk about gun-free zones to protect their children. Saying, isn't that equally hypocritical?
Well, it sounds sort of crazy when they have gun-free zones and then people with guns and rifles go in and kill people in those areas. That's where you should have people with guns protecting those young people against.
So it seems to me it's you need the good guys with the guns to save us against the bad guys with the guns.
Our guest today is popular Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, in office since 2005. Many conservatives hope that he runs again for Erie County Sheriff. He wins every time. A little plug here. For 60 years, the AMPO Legal has been Polonia's newspaper, sharing our Polish heritage with the readers. News, feature articles, great columns, and recipes have filled our pages for six decades. If you haven't read our paper, we invite you to try our winter special, 6 months for $15. That's 26 issues, including our great Easter editions, for only $15. Call 716-835-9454 to order or click on the services menu on our website, www.ampolegal.com, and put Winter Special in the comments box. And ESPN 1520 is streaming. You can listen live by going to our website, ESPN1520.com, and clicking on the radio.com or listen tab. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, Montreal, or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. The station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia, New Zealand. We'd like to hear from you. Again, the sheriff is the 53rd sheriff of Erie County, Tim Howard. He assumed office January 3rd, 2005. He's a Republican, married to Susan from South Wales, and he succeeded Pat Gallivan, who is now a state senator. Let's talk about sanctuary cities, where illegal aliens go in the United States and receive all these benefits when they should not be here, and the crime that people from sanctuary cities perform. I've seen so many interviews of people whose loved ones, sons and daughters, have been killed by illegal aliens. Let's talk about sanctuary cities. How can we allow this?
Again, the concept just doesn't fit with common sense. Why don't we put these energies, and these individuals that are favoring us, why don't we put the energies into speeding up the process that allows individuals to lawfully enter our country. Are we admitting defeat? I think as well about the Greek, the Trojan horse, where they went to great efforts to smuggle the soldiers into the city that then opened up the horse and defeated sect and defeated the city. You don't need the gift horse here. We're just saying, come on in, do whatever you want to whomever you want. Using the United States. First of all, I think sometimes our country is like a giant lifeboat, and the people on the boat or the controllers of the boat, which would be our government, decides how many people the lifeboat can hold, makes rules for the people that come onto their boat. But if other people that didn't help to build the boat, didn't help to pay for the boat, don't help to maintain the boat, get free use of the boat, then why would all these people, other people, contribute toward it? I think sanctuary cities are much like that. Again, the fact that you enter the country unlawfully or illegally, and then to think that you will obey our country's laws and work to benefit our country, it just doesn't make sense. But I think, too, that as American citizens, as residents of one state, if we, as a law enforcement officer, encounter an individual from another state, we would automatically assume that person's licensed, is a resident of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, California, maybe not so much now California, but that they're here and in our country legally. We don't even think that they may not be. The more sanctuary cities there are, the more law enforcement would doubt that the other residents from those municipalities or those cities would you could no longer assume that they're in fact in our country lawfully. So sanctuary cities raise doubt about the legality of all of the other residents from those cities or those states as well.
Our guest is popular Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Let's talk about when you and your deputies and officers see someone who is illegally in Erie County, New York. What is the process? Do you contact ICE? You know they're here illegally. They may have criminal records. What do you do to deport these people?
I think first thing we need to note is that you can be in the country unlawfully, but it is not a crime, not always a crime. It seems to be, even that expression is contradictory and hard to explain, but it's a civil penalty to simply that maybe the first time or the second time that an individual enters our country unlawfully, it is a civil crime, not a crime. Crime for which you'd end up in jail. But to separate this, when we encounter an individual whose legal status is unknown, if we do not have other grounds to hold that individual, they're not held. Not by local law enforcement. If by chance you were in the company of a person who had been empowered by the federal government to perform those duties, that individual would step up and take over, as we have on a lot of task forces that operate on our borders here in New York State. But more likely, more often, we encounter individuals on, either on domestic violence arrests, on traffic arrests, on shoplifting or other civil disobedience type of crimes. We encounter those individuals. They're not arrested because of their immigration status. They're arrested for some other offense of the law, and notification is made to the federal authorities to inquire if they are wanted. Either first of all, their inquiries are made from all other law enforcement. Are they wanted in some other state, in some other jurisdiction, which includes are they wanted by the federal government for any type of an immigration crime?
So if you have an illegal alien and they commit a violent act, then would the federal agency seek to deport that person?
It's worked out between federal and state prosecutors. More often than not, I think the individuals are prosecuted for their local crime. It may not make sense immediately, but they're prosecuted and sentenced for their local crime. And at the conclusion of the sentence that they may receive for their local crime, notification is made to the federal authorities to either deport them or possibly incarcerate them for their unlawful entry into the country. Now, it's easy to think, wouldn't it make more sense? Why are we spending taxpayers' money to incarcerate them in our facilities to provide medical care and other services that they receive while incarcerated? Wouldn't it make more sense to just deport them? Often that is done, but they find out that a day later, a week later, they're back in the country again because it's so easy to come back into the country. So I suppose, cycling back to where we were in the beginning, if we build a secure border around our country, we certainly could save a lot of money by deporting these individuals more quickly and not expect to see them back the next day.
Well, it's interesting, in the country, the Republic of Poland, they don't allow illegal aliens and refugees into their country, and they have no terrorism. Zero.
And we think even crossing from the United States into Canada, if you have a misdemeanor DWI conviction, you're an excludable alien that cannot even go into Canada because you've got a misdemeanor conviction for driving, any misdemeanor conviction, but even for driving while intoxicated, you're no longer welcome in Canada.
Our guest today is Erie County Sheriff Timothy Howard, 53rd Sheriff of Erie County. If you're listening in Wales, New York, Toronto, or Northern Florida, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And again, Sheriff Howard comes from a family of law enforcement officials, ranging from municipal judges to state troopers. He has two children and six grandchildren. Let's talk about your family of law enforcement. I met at one of your parties, many of your relatives were in law enforcement. Tell us about all these relatives of yours who are protecting the law.
Well, I suppose starting, I was the first policeman in our family, followed shortly thereafter by my father's third son. Then the oldest brother was in Vietnam, and upon his return, he went into law enforcement. And then the youngest brother, once he became old enough, went into law enforcement. And the one sister, we have one sister, married a policeman and then a corrections officer. So now I guess we'll go to next generation. My two sons are with the state police. One is a sergeant and the other a senior investigator. One of them is his wife is an investigator with the state police. I have one daughter whose husband is also now a sergeant with the state police. A nephew that's an investigator with the state police. At one point, we had all three of them, two investigator Howards and a trooper Howard at one point, all working out of the same station, which got a little confusing when the phone rang. And I speak to Trooper Howard and which Trooper Howard? Several nephews and nieces that have also either themselves in law enforcement or married into law enforcement.
Wonderful family. You must love our country with all of your relatives trying to enforce the laws in upstate New York. Let's talk about the opioid war. Again, we've mentioned, and you see this when you look at the obituaries, young people in their 20s with sudden deaths. It's estimated 300 a week are dying in America, when often the hard drugs are cheaper than marijuana. Let's talk about the opioid war. Are we winning this war? How are we going to finish it?
I don't know that we're winning it. I guess the first thing you'd think of is if we called it a war on drugs, and if in fact it ever was a war on drugs, the casualties of war have not fallen on the people that dealt the drugs. They fell on the people that used the drugs and on the law enforcement officers that tried to enforce the laws against the drugs. But there were very few you say casualties, maybe on the part of the other side in this war, which is the drug dealers. They've found themselves with varying laws, but they found themselves sentenced to lengthy prisons. And then we had politicians that say these were nonviolent crimes and these people don't deserve to stay in jail. They peddled a product that resulted in other people dying. In fact, I suppose the use of the sale of drugs might not be violent, but certainly the industry itself is extremely violent, with dealers killing each other and certainly their users dying as a result of the use of the product and killing other people and doing armed robberies and other violent crimes in order to support their drug habits. So we've never really looked at this as a war. It was a nice title that somebody attached, but they never really fought the war. This has been the case otherwise in our history. They never truly fought this as a war. But to say, are we winning? We can't let up our efforts to try to win. I can't say that we've won yet, but we're still in the war. I'm saddened by some individuals that the school of thought that might now suggest that if you're addicted to opiates, you must maintain opiates for the rest of your life in order to stay, quote unquote, healthy. That by coming off the opiates
at government expense.
At government expense, but it's the government that is saying that. Maybe that's teaching that the use of opiates impacts your ability to feel joy, experience joy, maybe your desire to continue living, so that once you become dependent on opiates, to come off of opiates might somehow make you more prone to suicide. Therefore, the safer way of maintaining your life is to stay on opiates. There is a school of people that are suggesting that, and I don't want to accept it, but we just got to do everything we can to never get on the opiate in the first place, and that's where our efforts should be.
We have a minute left. Isn't it ridiculous if we're going to have the government, at government expense, dispense heroin to people to keep them lethargic and addicted for the rest of their lives?
Really? I mean, where has it started, right? And it started, and it's like saying, well, we know that the use of needles led to developing infectious diseases, so we then do a needle exchange. It's like saying, so that's kind of where it started if we think back to that. So we may have reduced the number of individuals that are contacting hepatitis or AIDS, but we have certainly removed one of the dangers of using drugs, you know, providing another life preserver, one more reason to believe that it's okay and it's safe to use drugs, and it's not.
I'd like to thank our gifted sheriff, Tim Howard, for being our guest on the Rusk Report, enlightening us once again, back by popular demand. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, our director of production for the past 15 years. And thanks to those who've called regarding Steve Cotton of the Challenger Learning Center, Marissa Maruli, famous photographer, and Lucia Etter, vice consulate of Italy, all on the Rusk Report. Again, if you have any thoughts or comments, please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. Thank you so much for teaching us again about law enforcement, popular Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.